We acknowledge that we are on the traditional lands of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples' spirit, imagination, and rich history of storytelling and humour that is an inspiration for all Australians.
Welcome to another episode of The Bearer of Weird News. I am your host, Matt Harvey, who has once again been savagely overlooked by the Knight of all Knights, and the only place with more coke than the can factory, the Logies. Some may say that my continuous overlooking is due to, I don't know, not having a TV show or being attached to the industry even remotely, except through independent means. But I say that our shadowy cultural overlords of the Australian landscape have been deliberately keeping out your independent news voice. Now, just because we weren't at the Logies doesn't mean that we can't baselessly spread a little Logies gossip to maximise our appearance in the algorithm in a cynical attempt to boost our views. We will also, in equal measure, be changing our logo to a Pride logo to get that sweet Pride Month boost. You're welcome. So, here is the latest in the Aussie Wood gossip for you to pass on to your friends. I don't know if you heard, but Gold Logie winner and Lego Masters host Hamish Blake has been seen master building a multi-chambered bong to put his competitors to sleep before winning a suspiciously large amount of awards at the Logies. It's just what I heard, guys. I also heard that our most outstanding kids show father and our beloved cartoon character Bandit Healer was caught in a nude scandal as he ran the hallways of his hotel naked, claiming that where he's from, it's just the way that people walk around. A likely story. Turns out that most outstanding sports coverage went to the 2020 Olympic coverage, and I heard from insiders that the only reason that they won was because that they couldn't believe that it actually happened at all, that anybody would have been foolish enough to have gone ahead with the Olympics that shouldn't have happened. Now, just between us, I heard that Sean McAuliffe was seen making a series of pithy and insightful observations about Mad as Hell losing most popular comedy to comedy program Have You Been Paying Attention? But he was dressed as Milo Kerrigan at the time in an attempt to connect with the people of the Gold Coast by speaking on their level. But even so, all of the jokes went over people's heads. But those are just what I heard. It's just things that I heard. I pulled my little gossip tendrils out, and that's what came back to me. Who knows whether they're true or not? You'll just have to do your own research. I hear that's a popular thing to do these days. Before we get into the episode, I'd just like to thank the good people of Albany who managed to come out and see my show. If through that you're coming to see me for the first time, welcome. Thank you. I appreciate your time. It was an incredible time out in Albany. I had a good time. And it was a beautiful little city, beautiful little town that you've got out there. And I look forward to coming back again. For those of you who are keeping up, yes, I am again taking my storytelling show to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. I say again, I haven't been before. This is my first time at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, but I am doing my Edinburgh show again. The show that I am taking to Edinburgh, I am doing again. It is my storytelling show. I got bit by a monkey once. For those who are interested, if you know anybody in the area, or if you're going to be there yourself, come and check it out. It is a storytelling show. It has four stories. It has a monkey bite, a long trip across America, a mugging, and an arrest. It's a good time. Just ask the people of Albany who came out to see the show. But enough with the plugs. Let's get into the headlines. Former head of Guide Dogs Victoria, Karen Hayes, has resigned from the charity amid an investigation into her appearance on Liberal Party election pamphlets endorsing former Treasurer Josh Frydenberg during the federal election campaign. You'd think, of all people, she'd have seen this coming. This sort of blatant favouritism is a sad sight from a charity. After all, as the head of a body that provides visual aid for thousands, she seems to really lack foresight on this issue. Elon Musk has taken a hardline stance against employees working from home, reportedly declaring remote work is no longer acceptable at Tesla. So now Musk will have to do his stock-sinking tweets from the factory floor so that everyone can see that he's working. Chinese scientists have developed a new technique to revitalize old mice by surgically connecting their circulatory systems to that of young rodents. Footage of the old mouse getting blood has been released.
We take my blood back! We take my blood back and strap it to the Lancer's perch!
It's got a muzzle on it!
It's a raging feral! That's right. High-octane crazy blood filling me up.
The research revealed that exposure to old blood can accelerate aging of various organs, tissues, and cell types in a young mouse, while exposure to young blood can rejuvenate an aging rodent. A not at all concerning revelation that elderly oligarchs will be able to leech the very life out of youth caught up in decreasingly common opportunities who are desperate to make money from any source possible to be able to pay their rent, causing them to embrace the life of a living blood bag who will follow at the hip of the likes of Rupert Murdoch until they shrivel into Benjamin Button at the start of the film, in a living art piece that they've titled An Internship. Canadian coffee giant Tim Hortons is facing 4 class action lawsuits over privacy violations for tracking users with their app, keeping geolocation data on even when the app wasn't in use. When they heard about it, Facebook started clucking its tongue and saying, "I can't believe this, Tim Hortons abusing people's trust. Who would have thought it? Hey everybody, look over here. Tim Hortons is doing something disgusting. Let's all talk about it and let's all judge them for a while, eh?" A new plan from New South Wales Attorney General Mark Speakman purported people caught with illicit drugs for personal use would simply get a $400 fine or undergo health treatment instead of facing court. When asked why the charge was being proposed, he said, "Have you been paying attention the last few years? We probably have a good 10-15 years tops before we can't even grow these drugs anymore, so we could all do with a distraction. Let them eat space cake." Recovery plans designed to prevent the extinction of almost 180 threatened species and habitats, including the Tasmanian devil, were scrapped by the coalition in one of Susan Ley's final acts as environmental minister. Crying from the top of the tower, "Well, if we're going down, we're going to take you all down with us." Fortunately, the election took care of Susan Ley and has in no way left her in an exaggerated position of power and influence. Whew, lucky. Part of the new Albanese government is Matt Thistlethwaite, who was sworn in as Assistant Minister for the Republic. The Queen's representative in Australia, the Governor General David Hurley, did the swearing in a real training your replacement moment. Thistlethwaite says that they won't be going for the Queen just yet, claiming the work done over the next 3 years will ensure the country is ready to go in a second term of the Albanese government, assuring us that they understand that the people will only go for the monarchy as long as 70-year-old who has never had a job, Charles, is never put in charge. Upon hearing this, Sky News has put out a call to all MI6 to go on high alert for possible Australian assassinations, with the headline, "Shocking revelation, Albanese determined to stop Queen from reaching 100th birthday." It's an exclusive. Researchers set a new record for data transmission speeds, with a new record for data now 1.02 petabytes per second. That's a million gigabytes every single second. Women, minority communities, and those not clearly stapled to the edges of the gender spectrum are really thrilled at just how fast and how many insults they'll be able to receive all at once. It's a real relief. economics editor at Parliament House, John Kehoe, released an opinion piece saying big wage rises would do Australians more harm than good, and that most workers will need to begrudgingly accept a real wage cut over the next year. That story again. Man in comfortable high-paid job says the poor are being greedy by refusing to starve just a little bit so that businesses don't have to eat into their record profits to help control inflation. North Korea has begun its vaccination program, calling the COVID-19 jab an immortal potion of love from their leader Kim Jong-un. Conservative commentators have been heard quietly saying, "Whoa, whoa, 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 you can't call them that. The leftists will cancel you. Then you'll only be able to win a Grammy Award." Honestly, it's cancel culture gone mad. Who even wants a Grammy Award? If I were to wave my immortal potion of love around, you should consider it a compliment. Multiple security flaws have emerged in Australian digital driver's licenses, which actually make it relatively simple to pull a license off a device, edit it, re-encrypt it, and pass it off as legitimate. Potentially even easier than acquiring the materials to forge a physical license. Even more impressive, the system is so poorly designed, it actually gives out your mother's maiden name, the street you grew up in, and the name of your first pet to save the forgers the time so that they can get back to the work of saving the economy. Recently, the UK's Tory party put forward a vote of no confidence in Prime Minister Boris Johnson's ability to be able to effectively cover up their controversies. After barely surviving the vote, Johnson says nothing and no one will stop him carrying on as PM, no matter how much most people don't want him to. His first action as a veteran Prime Minister, returning from the war on conservative culture and being internationally terrible at following rules that you enforced on an entire country for their own safety, is that he is going to bring back imperial units. Yes, that's right. You see, under metric units, Johnson was nearly ousted. But if you convert them to imperial units, then Johnson is a huge swinging Johnson, and everybody loves him. Oh yes, oh yay, Johnson number one. Johnson says that he will also focus on the housing and cost of living crises, which, as a man who nearly lost his job and house, this makes a lot of sense. A Tesla driver who had his car on autopilot in a crash that killed two people will stand trial on two counts of manslaughter in Los Angeles. The good news is that the car saved them from going down a second road where they would have run over five people, one of whom was pregnant. Very lucky indeed. Australia has marked the Queen's Platinum Jubilee, a celebration of her 70th year in power, by getting her a brand new Minister for the Republic. Happy anniversary, Queenie! Boomers across the country have pointed to the Queen's Jubilee as evidence that job stability is very much still a thing if you work hard and have a reference from God. The four-day party, celebrating 70 years of nepotism, contained displays of horses, those like beef eaters, a bored 10-year-old, and even a golden carriage with a holographic image of the Queen in her younger form, as a reminder to Charles that they already have plans to stop him from taking the throne indefinitely. After all, job stability is so poor currently that even this 96-year-old queen refuses to give up her job. Charles marked the Queen's Jubilee with a four-day celebration of his own, celebrating 70 years of never having to have a job. Pretty good little party. Naturalist and man you wish was your grandfather, David Attenborough, has received a second knighthood for services to television broadcasting and conservation. As a result, the planet Earth said, "Finally! I've been doing all this climate nonsense because, frankly, have you watched Blue Planet? He makes me look good." Then, climate change instantly stopped and even started to go backwards. The Barrier Reef fixed itself, burnt out bushland grew back, and formerly endangered animals started coming back to life in a shocking display of eldritch power, which ushered in a new period of worshipping Attenborough as a living god king, eternal in power and praise, replacing Gaia as the very spirit of the earth itself, and they fused to become one. It was a beautiful moment, you really should have been there. The Académie Française, the semi-official authority on the French language, whose members, known as immortals, issued a decree on how the language should be used. Among recent decrees, probably none is more contentious than the now highly frequent use of passe des soucis, an expression mirroring the English no problem or no worries, which is a rare cultural highlight for Australia, who haven't influenced international language since Crocodile Dundee introduced knife measuring as an acceptable bar discourse. Mad Max introduced the idea of the Thunderdome, and something about shrimp on a barbecue, a thing that has never actually happened in Australia. We call them prawns, guys. We call them prawns. However, Australians have some concerns with the usage of their famous phrase, informing the French that it is only no worries if it comes from the no worries region of Australia, otherwise it can only be called a sparkling lack of concern. But that's it for the headlines for today, let's get into the bigger news. First up, definitely learning and not repeating the mistakes of the past news. The Liberal Party. You might remember them from such national atrocities as almost killing all the koalas and the Great Barrier Reef becoming the average barrier reef, both in size and majesty. Well, after failing to form government, due to some small things like failing to understand climate change is threatening to kill people, and also failing to act on the very same climate change that is also threatening to kill people, they have successfully managed to form a shadow ministry, which isn't just the board members of the League of Shadows, no, they are the people who will try to keep Australia in the state that it is now, on fire. As Shadow Assistant Minister for Climate Change and Energy, and woman totally not over her head and hoping that you don't see the panic in her eyes, Holly Hughes said that climate change is a luxury issue for voters. This should be good. Listing it alongside other luxuries as living on dry land, reasonable rent, and being able to afford food, all of which are currently under an extended luxury tax, also known as inflation. In an interview with ABC News Breakfast, Hughes acknowledged the fact that climate change was a key issue for voters in the 2022 federal election, but suggested those who turned on the Liberal Party won't care so much about it when the cost of living continues to rise. Forgetting that the rising cost of food is sometimes due to the fact that climate change caused by such large earth-changing events like fires and floods and drought tend to impact the cost of simple things like, bread, flour, and apparently lettuce. Apparently lettuce is going through a whole thing at the moment. Meaning that we'll be forced to substitute more and more sections of our meals with cabbage. So we'll be eating cabbage burgers with cabbage fries, and you can wash it all down with a nice delicious cabbage juice. While Teal independence largely rose in power in wealthier electorates like Goldstein and Kooyong, as they all moved out that way to be away from the poors, and once the cities start to flood, the poors will come out to those suburbs and they can subsequently charge them rent from all the properties that they own. Hughes also confirmed that she's not personally in favour of extending carbon emissions reduction targets, adding that Australia could shut everything down tomorrow and all go live in trees. And it wouldn't make much of a difference, noting that was mostly due to the fact that we don't have much in the way of wildlife and wild plants, due to an outsourcing most of our climate change shame to other countries and reaping the financial benefits, like where the Sackler family and coal is our opium. On the plus side, we won't be needing any water after we build the shared money bin that all Australians will get to take turns swimming in as we all helped to make this future happen. And we'll enjoy our new luxurious lifestyle benefited to us from our luxury living due to our luxury voting habits. Moving on to student loan news. Student loan debt, the shackle dragging a generation deeper and deeper into the ocean that is generational demise being hidden under the warm, calming feeling of your lungs slowly filling up with water so we have something else to focus on. Well, good news, some of you. The US Department of Education has cancelled about $5.8 billion in outstanding student loans for more than 560,000 borrowers in the largest single loan forgiveness action taken by the US government to date. Why are they doing this? Will it apply to you? How much individual debt is being overturned? Why aren't you answering any of my questions? I assume you ask in jolts of increasing frustration? Well, calm down, mister, or you'll go to bed without any debt relief tonight. Don't think that I won't do it. The cancellation applies to all those who attended schools operated by the now-defunct Corinthian Colleges, one of the largest for-profit education companies named after the style of Corinth, meaning given to luxury, dissolute, ornate, and elaborate, or a man about town who is dissolute, you know, dissolute, men who are overindulging in sensual pleasures. Also, it is one of the books of the Bible. It's the bit that has that nice poem about love that you heard in a movie one time. You know the one. So, look, maybe you shouldn't study at a for-profit education company named for luxury and ornateness, I don't know. But not that this is the fault of the borrowers, as the parasites at Corinthian College are still the parasites at Corinthian College. But maybe don't help them by rolling in the mud where they live, then opening your pee hole to take a whiz, allowing them an entry point into your life. Corinthian Colleges has faced several lawsuits since its founding in 1995, but perhaps the most notable is from 2013, when Vice President Kamala Harris sued Corinthian while she was Attorney General of California for deceptive and false advertising and recruiting, among other allegations. Putting out her warning to students.
Do not come. Do not come.
U.S. Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona said, as of today, every student deceived, defrauded, and driven into debt by Corinthian Colleges can rest assured that the Biden-Harris administration has their back and will discharge their federal student loans. Borrowers won't even need to fill out an application to receive the relief. It will be automatic, and they are expected to be notified within weeks. The news comes as the Biden administration considers broader student loan forgiveness for millions of borrowers. So far, the administration has approved $25 billion in loan forgiveness for about 1.3 million borrowers, the final decision for which will likely not come until July or August. A sweet summer treat for students so drowned under debt and the inability to go on a summer holiday that they'll probably have to hear about it when they return to school after their summer jobs have ended. Though, I'm sure that they will be happy when they finally do hear about it. After all, it is a big relief. The federal student loan pause will likely be extended through the end of 2022, and White House officials are zeroing in on cancelling $10,000 for all borrowers who earn less than $150,000 per year. Or, as Fox News has reported it, Joe Biden declares war on the rich by excluding them from student loan debt forgiveness. What a disgraceful act. They will shore up the front lines, provide precious media information across the battlefield, keeping the rich informed so they can tell the poor people they are paying to fight the other poors, giving them up-to-the-minute information on the war on people of means. We salute you for your hard work. Pushback to this debt news also includes a letter signed by over 500 labor and civil rights organizations calling for Biden to cancel student loan debt immediately, saying the $10,000 is not nearly enough and would be the fighting student debt equivalent of giving people $2,000 to pay their rent while the economy spends 2 years shrinking due to a pandemic, just as a random example. A recent poll from Data for Progress and Rise found that voters might be less likely to vote in the midterms if the Biden administration fails to provide adequate relief to borrowers, taking the "what have you done for me lately" approach to voting. So the Biden government will need to find a way to motivate voters to help them hold power during the midterms, and also find a way to increase relief for those failing under the weight of crippling student debt. Some suggestions they have floated are the fun run from bullets, where students get a 5-minute head start before we release the mass shooters, and for every minute that they can manage to survive from the shooters, we decrease their debt by $1,000. A combination conscription / work for the dole type scheme, where we get students to operate drones in unnamed countries at a rate of around $15 per hour, the rate that they've been screaming for, and that they can work off their debt and learn some valuable life skills in the process. Or a system where they can remove $20 for every person that they convince to vote in the midterm elections. And the real-life Squid Game, which, of course, has the added benefit of allowing a now-dead student's loans to die with them. Sort of like a two birds, one stone kind of gift situation. Pretty good? Pretty good. Moving on now, it's gun news. Unsurprisingly, we are staying in America for gun news, with 254 mass shootings in 2022 so far, and 33 of those since the Uvalde shooting, with a record 7 separate mass shootings happening in a single weekend. You did it, America. You did it. You killed it. Oh, shit. No, you blew the competition away. No. Why is all of our culture so obsessed with violent metaphors? It's almost as if we don't know how to communicate otherwise. Oh, God. Right. It's either this or it's sports metaphors, and I will not lower myself to use sports metaphors. We're down for the count, linguists. And the ball is in your court. We need new and exciting phrases that aren't sports or violence related. Or you're out of here. You understand me? You're out of here. Now get to it. Get to work. So it seems calls for reason and compassion are falling on deaf ears. So in order to be heard, Americans must speak the only language that they can understand. Cold hard cash. As a woman who was shot in a Brooklyn subway shooting in April filed a lawsuit against gunmaker Glock Inc. and its Austria-based parent firm, claiming the company is contributing to creating and maintaining a public nuisance in the state of New York and endangering the state's public health and safety. This is how desensitized Americans have become to guns. Somebody got shot on a train and they are out there saying, "This is a bit of a nuisance, eh?" No, seagulls stealing your potato cakes, that's a nuisance. A racist marching up and down the tram warning people that there was an Arab on the train and to watch out, that's a racist nuisance. being shot definitely escalates past nuisance. I'd probably put it higher into the aggressive annoyance, weapons grade difficulty, turbulent travails, or even upgrade it to an aggravated pestilence. We are well beyond nuisance levels here, people. The lawsuit is an early test of a new 2021 New York State law that enables victims of gun violence to sue firearms manufacturers or dealers for their injuries. As under the 2005 Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act, gun manufacturers cannot be held liable for the use of their products in a crime. Which is only fair, as a gun is merely a tool for committing violent crimes. The same way the Sacklers aren't responsible for the devastating impact of their opioids that they pushed, nor are McDonald's for being a tool for delivering violent food poisoning. We've never held food manufacturers responsible for what happens next with the food that they make. Oh, hang on, what's that? We have an entire food rating system to hold manufacturers to account for the very outcomes of the food that they deliver. Well, why have I never heard of this before? I've got a lot of hard talks to have with some very dodgy restaurants. Sorry, I wasn't aware. Go about your business world. The Act reads, the possibility of imposing liability on an entire industry for harm that is solely caused by others is an abuse of the legal system. Which is clever and totally fair, as you need to find as many ways as possible to protect the cops for illegally murdering non-white people or for absolutely no reason at all. You know, they just sort of enjoy it, I think. The gun industry challenged the law as unconstitutional, saying that they couldn't be expected to be held responsible for the behaviors of these nutters who shoot up places. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? No, we just sell the guns. But the guns don't kill people. The people kill the people with the guns. Are you kidding? But a federal judge upheld it, saying they had to stick by their lack of guns. The NRA shouldn't bring a gun to a law fight. Pew pew. The lawsuit was filed as the US tallied 231 mass shootings. And when they heard about it, a bunch of unsure mass shooters had to quickly get their shooting done before the rules changed, pushing their numbers up by another 23 shootings before we risk doing something about it. In the lawsuit, the attorneys urged Glock's marketing campaign emphasized the high capacity and ease of concealing the firearms and appeal to prospective purchasers with criminal intent. Also, appealing to farmers trying to sneak up on 30 to 40 feral hogs who are trying to take over their farms. They just kind of come up behind me like, I'm not armed, hoggies, I'm not armed. Look at me, I don't even have a gun. The lawsuit alleges that the makers of Glock firearms are aware mass shootings have become a frightening yet predictable part of modern life. And knowing this, Glock sells its firearms to the civilian market, knowing that they might end up in the hands of individuals unfit to operate. You know, like members of the police force. It's a genuine concern. In the wake of mass shootings in Uvalde and Buffalo, a pass the parcel of conspiracy theories start to get passed around, with each group unwrapping a layer, taking their conspiracy, and then passing it around to the next group. In Buffalo, misinformation falsely claimed that the shooting was a false flag operation, which is an interesting take. So, there are people out there who think that anti-gun activists want to prove that guns are dangerous by staging a mass shooting. Why would they need to do that? This is America, the home of the free and the natural habitat of the mass shooting. They only need to wait a few days and somebody will deliver them a mass shooting on a silver bullet. A conservative Arizona state lawmaker, Wendy Rogers, seen here doing a first draft reading of Capital Riot, the musical, is actually under investigation by the Arizona Senate for her Telegram post endorsing the theory. It is quite the hot take when they already have their own conspiracy theory, the Great Replacement Theory. The gunman was so heavily into it, it inspired the shooting and is currently echoed by conservative members of Congress and mainstream conservative media personalities, which I think technically makes it a deep state conspiracy, but you can't hate all deep state narratives, only the ones that play against your biases. It's a complicated conundrum, which is why I refuse to believe an iceberg sank the Titanic. Just putting it out there, it was definitely aliens. They were getting too close to this secret undersea landing strip where the aliens go. I figured it out, guys. We'll talk about it on my other podcast, The Bearer of Conspiracy News. However, in Uvalde, misinformation falsely claimed that the shooter was transgender, with Representative Paul Gosar tweeting that the shooter was a transsexual leftist illegal alien, but later deleted the post when he realized he'd likely be supporting the rights of the shooter, so he needed them to be more your garden variety shooter, simply looking to protect some notion of traditional values. It makes things a lot easier that way. Traditional values like guns and children dying from preventable circumstances, the most traditional of the values. Which means we can't directly address the gun issue per se. More gun-adjacent issues like, why don't we try abortion? Representative and a man furious about the innuendo in his own name, Billy Long, blamed mass shootings on Roe v. Wade, saying, "When I was growing up in Springfield, you had one or two murders a year. Now you have two, three, four a week, so something has happened to our society. I go back to abortion, when we decided it was okay to murder kids in their mother's wombs. Life has no value to a lot of these folks." Which makes sense when you realise that women who have had abortions are often seen roaming in bands, finding other pregnant women and liberating them from their burden of motherhood, then inviting them to join the gang, further roaming the world, seeking to slake their lust for blood, power, and feminism. It's a sad state of affairs. But not everyone has the same thoughts on the matter. After all, it isn't as simple as a one-stop solution. No, no. We need to workshop some options, throw them around, see if any of them go off with a bang. And on that note, Ohio's legislature passed legislation allowing school boards in the state to authorize teachers to carry firearms in the classroom. As a little bonus, it also requires them to wear a cowboy hat, a poncho, and a metal plate under it, and to always have a lit cigarette in their mouth, just sort of like tucked under the lip on one side, just right there. Hey, this is the price of freedom, all right? It's secondhand smoke or school shootings. You've got to choose, guys. You've got to choose. In Texas, however, Republican lawmakers and officials have proposed somewhat different measures, ranging from boosting the number of armed school police officers to restricting entryways to places of learning. But critics say Republicans are avoiding the issue by zigzagging in wild directions, offering obviously unhelpful alternative causes, and dodging useful solutions, unlike Joe Biden, who has opened maybe the most effective pathway to gun control by having a mandatory waiting period and background check to access thoughts and prayers. See, without access to thoughts and prayers, politicians, media, and parents groups will have to innovate to find ways to avoid talking about the issue of guns in a way that is socially, religiously, culturally, and philosophically acceptable. They may even be forced to consider somewhat more unconventional means of controlling the mass shooting phenomenon. For example, Biden cited a recent report from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention Center that guns were the leading cause of death among children. And that is saying a lot for a country without public health care. I'd probably reconfigure those stats a little and say that the cause, or at least the comorbidity of most of these deaths, is lack of affordable health care. Biden, locked in his new radical persona by donning a beret, painting his face blue, and shouting, "If we can't ban assault weapons, then we should raise the age to purchase them from 18 to 21. That'll teach those kids. If there is one thing that I have never heard about, seen a movie loosely recreating the writer's own experience of, or seen with my own eyes, it is kids getting access to alcohol at a much younger age than they are legally allowed to. So this should very easily stop children from accessing guns as well. Checkmate, children. Maybe your brains were fully developed before 18. Then you'd be able to think your way out of this issue. But you can't, because you're stupid. But what is the point of raising the age for purchasing guns? Well, according to PolitiFact, the age of most mass shooters in schools is around 18 or 19. Which has gone a long way to explain the GOP's somewhat fanatic impulse to abolish Roe v. Wade, as banning abortions will ensure that there are enough children to replace those who are lost in school shootings. Seems very logical. And with them all being around their teenage years, it ensures that parents won't feel too attached to them as they were entering into that arsehole-y age anyway, you know, the year where you sort of casually think, if only I could casually get rid of this child. Well, here it is. Here's the solution. You know, they're all at that age where they're getting a little bit entitled about the world that we're leaving for them, about their rights, and they start to think that they're entitled to live in a world that was better than the one that we had to grow up in. Bunch of needy crybabies. You'll see them doing such whining activities as marching in the streets over such non-issues as climate change, gun control, and then doing such disgusting acts as covering themselves with their dead classmates' blood to avoid being shot. I mean, come on, cosplaying in an offensive dead face, which will likely come back to haunt them in the future. Disgraceful. See, these kids, they just don't think about their future, you know? If they had just gotten themselves shot, they wouldn't have cosplayed in dead face, and they wouldn't be cancelled right now. But it is good to see that Generation Z, picture-perfect image, starting to crack. The sooner they figure out what Gen Alpha will use against them, the better, really. But despite this, Florida lawmakers have approved a red flag law that can deny firearms to individuals believed to pose a danger to themselves or others. So longtime Floridian Goofy is fucked, as he has a heavily documented history of being a public nuisance, and the much maligned Florida man is preparing a last few capers before the law comes into effect. The New York governor has signed a law raising the age to own semi-automatic rifles and to get a license for the rifles. Then the governor went on to explain, look, if 18-year-olds want to kill people with guns, they'll have to join the army until they turn 21, like the rest of us responsible citizens. And similar proposed federal legislation that would require buyers of semi-automatic weapons to be 21 is advancing in the US House, but it is seen as facing long odds in the Senate. And as such, America is set to take preemptive measures against mass shootings by writing the next set of heartfelt speeches in advance so that they can get straight to the avoiding having a political discussion and not be held up in the whole right way to seem empathetic on a very specific shooting. You can just get bust out your generic speech and pop in some names and locations, sort of mad libs your empathetic speech. I think it'll work. Moving on now to corruption news. The ICAC. Think of it as neighbours for those who enjoy politics. While talk of the federal ICAC is increasingly common, South Australia is looking to make a name for itself as not only the newest home for filming in Australia, but also the up-and-comer in the corruption states, as the ICAC has delivered a damning report into the corrupt driver's license industry, passing incompetent drivers. So it's been happening in Australia's most in-bed early city. Scandal, that's what's been happening. But as you might expect, in a city simultaneously known for having a lot of churches and serial murderers, the political scandal is kind of a low-key but equally fascinating. As driving examiners have been accepting bribes, threatening students with failure, and passing others who break the road rules during their tests, according to South Australia's Independent Commission Against Corruption and gritty Mary Poppins reboot, who has come not to clean the house, but to clean up crime. Anne Vanstone, which will form the basis of the 2024 season of Australia's favourite franchise focusing on criminality, Underbelly. In Underbelly, Independent Suspension, where Vanstone will be played by People's Champion and Uber grandmother Noni Hazelhurst. Vanstone handed down a damning report into Australia's driver's licensing industry as the Office of Public Integrity received more than 40 complaints. The report found bribery of instructors is prevalent in South Australia. Vanstone said, "My officers have received information from students who allege that examiners offered them a guaranteed pass on their driving test if they paid as much as $3,000.39. Hang on. 39 cents? Why are they including the 39 cents? You can't even make 39 cents in cash. And you know all bribes should be made in cash. You know that, right, don't you, South Australia? All bribes should be made in cash. I should have to explain this to you. You know this, right? Why are you doing this so poorly? Look at some of these amounts. These are genuine amounts from these bribes. $2,241. $500.42. Do they think that the cents on the end will confuse the bribees so much that they will not report them? Putting those amounts in means that you are guaranteeing that they will have to make a card transaction. These are absolutely the worst criminals of all time. Although they knew to target minority communities, not only because the power imbalance leaves them vulnerable to predators, but for some nationalities it is common and acceptable practice to offer and accept bribes when dealing with public officials. So much so that some do not even consider bribery to be a crime. Which brings us to one such culture, white-collared white people. After a report commissioned by the New South Wales ICAC has called for pork barrelling to be prohibited, and instead grants should be given strictly on merit after assessments against clear criteria. Pork barrelling has become a popular topic of discussion in the lead up to the 2022 election, as real-life Neighbours stars Gladys Berejiklian and Darryl Maguire were caught up in a corruption scandal involving the pork barrelling of Maguire's electorate after a series of recordings taken from taped phone conversations between the couple revealed that funding for one of two grants at the centre of the probe was a done deal after Maguire complained about roadblocks on his money projects. Very subtle. The story, like all good news, is set to be adapted into a straight-to-Stan streaming romantic classic, $40,000 and a stadium. The report says that a major overhaul of the way governments distribute grants is needed to ensure that they are awarded on merit and are no longer used for pork barrelling in marginal seats. A group of experts who also explore whether the practice of pork barrelling is lawful and ethical and whether it could constitute corrupt conduct under the Independent Commission Against Corruption Act. A report that will no doubt be of interest to one Gladys B, as she openly confessed that the grants program was straight up pork barreling. Good work, Gladys. And around a year ago, was defending that stance by saying that she was simply being upfront and honest about the political process. Which is true, but like so many other things that are also true, like stealing your workers' wages leads to record profits and cheap overseas labour keeps those prices low, well, they are horrific pictures of the normalisation of, at best, questionable, at worst, exploitative and globally damaging practices. But now that she is out of politics and investigations are potentially down the line, she has a remarkably similar opinion on the matter, saying, "I don't think it would be a surprise to anybody to know that we throw money at seats to keep them. At the end of the day, whether we like it or not, that's democracy." Oh, Gladys, you and your catchphrase, "that's democracy." That's democracy, is it? Well, it's certainly an interesting take on democracy. They seem determined to mislabel democracy much the same way that a conservative tackling a trans person often aggressively mislabels them and will bully the rest of us into going along with them to, you know, to make them feel like it's a normal thing to be doing. Though former Deputy Premier John Barilaro used to be happy and relabeled himself as Pork Barilaro, a hilarious nickname about how he loves pork barreling so much it could be part of his name. A review of the New South Wales Government's grants spend in May, undertaken by the Department of Premier and Cabinet, recommended against making pork barreling a criminal offence, instead arguing grants administrators should document when ministries and politicians try to influence the grants process, and given Australia's world-renowned reputation for great treatment of whistleblowers, anyone who came forward to whistleblow on pork barreling can expect some of the following prices. What do we have for them, Johnny? Well, it is a long-term holiday where they get to stay expense-free at one of our luxurious international consulates. This trip will include round-the-clock security monitoring, ensuring that they get the most of their new consulate home and don't suddenly find themselves in a strange foreign country. They'll get skateboarding privileges, a cat to keep them company, and the latest bohemian hairstyles as they grow out their hair and beard. And all this and more could be yours if the whistle is blown. Coming soon to Binge. Some negative Nellies, however, argue that this does not go far enough and that the practice should be prohibited entirely, prompting politicians Australia-wide to reconsider their positions as public servants. Spokesperson for politicians put out the following statement: "Frankly, we didn't get into politics for this level of scrutiny. We saw those before us pork barreling with impunity. Sure, occasionally a politician would make a symbolic gesture and step down over a bottle of wine, but that simply served the bigger narrative of nothing to see here. They'd leave with an excessive payout and already generous superannuation into a cushy lobbying or industry position. The system has worked seamlessly for decades, and now what, we're just expected to change our entire industry overnight because a few politicians didn't know how to cover their tracks properly? It's enough to make a man consider spending more time with his family, quite frankly." And that's the end of the episode. Thanks so much for staying to the end. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you've been enjoying these coming out a little more frequently. I've been trying to put them out a little more frequently. No guarantees. But I will try to pop a few out every so often. It's just a bit of I've been on tour a little bit. It's a bit of a one-man operation here where I write, edit, shoot. I do all the work. So if you want to see them a little more frequently, I think the best way to do that is to either support my shows by coming out to one of my live shows. Like I said, I'll be at the Edinburgh Fringe. If you know anybody there, if you're coming yourself, I'd love to see you there. You can make a one-off donation via my link tree to the PayPal that I have set up. If people are interested in supporting the show and would like to join a Patreon, I'm open to the idea. I just don't think, honestly, I just don't think there is enough of you who would be into that. Plus, times are kind of tough for a lot of people, so I wouldn't think of asking of that of people unless you are interested in doing so. So if that's something that you're interested in, let me know, and we can get that sorted out for you, make a couple of levels. But also, just generally, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the show. Enjoy your company. Look after yourselves. Stay safe. Get your booster if you haven't done so. And I will see you next time. Goodbye.